let's see who we have here. You are John Lester. You are from Linden Lab, and you are about to have dinner at Sandrine's. Why did you want to come to this conference?
Well, I work at Linden Lab, and we create the virtual world Second Life, which is a collaborative environment that's completely created by the residents of this world. And actually, Berkman Center is doing a virtual component of this conference in Second Life, where they've actually built the Ames courthouse, the courtroom, and so it looks actually like it does in the real world. And they're using it as a way for people who want to participate in the conference who can't physically be here. So there's going to be
a lot of them.
Yeah, I think there are about 200 people who are physically coming here. I think it's actually overbooked or they filled it up or something. So anyway, what they're going to do is they're going to be streaming live video and audio into Second Life, into the virtual version of the Ames courtroom. And so people will be gathering in there and participating and talking with each other while they're watching a live feed.
Now, they're coming as avatars.
Mm-hmm.
I actually signed up for Second Life, and I chose to be an apple.
That's awesome. Why be human? Why be human?
Yes, well, the first time I tried to make it work, I was unable to move, so I stalled everything, and I had to redo it, and it was a nightmare. But I'm sure that people who are a little bit more media savvy will be able to actually get into the courtroom and really enjoy themselves.
Oh, absolutely. I've been working with the people who have been setting up the courtroom in Second Life, and you know, they've had tremendous interest by residents in Second Life from all around the world. It's a global community, so there are people from all over the world. And the wonderful thing is, as opposed to just sitting alone in front of your computer, watching a webcast, you know, you're actually in a 3D immersive space interacting with other people. So you know, I expect that there'll be a lot of interesting stories coming out of the interpersonal connections that are made in the 3D world during the conference. The same way that cool things happen to people when they physically come to conferences, you talk to people, you watch speakers, you network a little bit. So I think there'll be some really cool stuff coming out of it all.
The term Second Life implies that this is a second chance. You'll have a second life, you know, almost as if you're dead now. You can have your real life in a way, or your better life. It's an improved, you're having an improved life in Second Life. Tell me about that.
Well, the wonderful thing about Second Life is it's really a chance for you to express yourself in ways that are very difficult in the physical world. So, for instance, you were an apple, right? So people in Second Life, it's interesting because when you look at what happens in Second Life, well, here's a question. When people...
We're all set, thanks.
Here's the interesting thing that happens. When people are given the opportunity to create an avatar, a virtual representation of themselves that looks however they want it to look, and they're given the chance to build whatever they want to build, you know, what do they do? And what we see happening in Second Life is an interesting blend between the real and the surreal. So Second Life feels very much like a waking dream where, you know, I'm sure when you go into the virtual Ames courthouse, you'll see, you know, people who look, their avatars will look like they look in the physical world, but then you'll probably see apples and, you know, floating hippopotamuses and things like that. And it's
floating hippopotamuses.
Well, why be human?
Heavy.
Why have physics, you know, be limited by the law of gravity? At the same time, though, this doesn't trivialize the emotional bandwidth that happens in this environment. If anything, from what I see, it enhances it, because when you can truly be yourself, express yourself, your persona, express your avatar, however you want to look. I could be, you know, my avatar in Second Life, I have two. I have one that looks like me in the real world, and then I have one that's a little tiny little magic user with a cane and a big floppy hat. When you give people the ability to express themselves unfettered by the mundane reality, the fact that I can't, unless I have plastic surgery, I won't be able to look like a little tiny magic user.
How do you behave differently when you're using one avatar rather than the other? How do you change?
Well, that's an interesting question. Myself, you know, personally, I don't really change that much. Sometimes I'll have different avatars that I'll put on to represent sort of, you know, my emotional state. You know, so for instance, you know, I have this big bat creature, a big black bat, and sometimes if I'm feeling kind of depressed, you know, I'll just put on this black bat and just kind of fly around it's a little bit of a catharsis, you know.
But this is in addition to your other two avatars. Mm-hmm. You're a black bat, so you have three?
Well, I have dozens of them. I mean, that's the wonderful thing. You can either create your avatar yourself, or there's a huge business in Second Life where residents create very detailed custom avatars. I was on a... and sometimes it's interesting because you can change your avatar to suit the theme of the area that you happen to be in. So, for instance, there's a place in Second Life called Caladon, which is a series of four islands, four large landmasses, which it's run by a resident. And the theme of that is Victorian England and steampunk. Right.
Steampunk.
You know, think cyberpunk, but instead of computers, think like Babbage machines and steam engines and hacking steam engines to do sort of crazy, you know, H.G. Wells kind of stuff. And so when I was on that island, I was walking around, and I remembered I had in my inventory an avatar that was a sort of steam-powered robot. So I put that on, and it just felt really... It felt right, because I blended in with this the you know, sort of Victorian countryside of the space, and I met people walking by me in Victorian gowns.
A robot totally fits in with 19th century England.
Well, it's steampunk. It's like cyberpunk, but, you know, imagine cyberpunk without electricity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, for instance, they have, like, you know, steam-powered jetpacks and things like that.
So if you are going to enter a nudist beach, you have the choice of... Do you want to wear clothes?
Sure.
Make a statement?
Sure.
I'm going to wear clothes on this beach.
Sure, you can do whatever you like. I mean, and it's that kind of freedom, I think, that you know, is so special in terms of your creativity, in terms of how you want to appear to others, and also in just creating your surroundings. Like, for instance, this area in Second Life, Caladon, you know, the person who started had a vision and created this themed area. But there are also areas in Second Life, like, you know, there are science fiction-looking areas. There are areas that are modeled after real life and, you know, things that are only limited by really the imagination of the person creating the area.
Well, thank you.
Sure.
See you there.
I'll look for an apple.